When was the time you decided to club Ayurvedic knowledge with the quantum physics?
Ayurveda is not merely working on Newtonian physics, it's working on the new physics or quantum physics. Nadi Pariksha is a science and an art both. Ayurveda is not just cure, there is a preventive element and there is also a promotive element.
Hello and welcome to Empyrea Connects. Today we are diving into a very fascinating world of Ayurveda, an ancient science that is more relevant than ever. And to guide us through this journey, we have a doctor, Manan Gandhi. He's MD in Ayurveda. He has combined Ayurveda with quantum physics and presented his research globally. He has won 4 national awards. So let's welcome Dr. Manan Gandhi. Hello, doctor. Welcome to Empyrea Connect.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So to begin with, I would like to know about Nadi Parikshan. So, Nadi Parikshan is part of Vastu. It is part of astrology also. People predict future. Many people predict how you will end up getting diseases. So how Nadi Parikshan is a part of Ayurveda and how it is different as compared to other stream of expertise?
So Nadi Parikshan and its essence is actually not different from any of these. What do we do with Nadi Parikshan is basically, first of all, you'll have to understand that the gross body that you're seeing right now in front of you is not the only body that we possess. We have 3 bodies. So we have a gross body, we have a subtle or an energy body or an astral body. And the third is a causal body which contains our karmas. So diseases and karmic changes that occur, they occur from the causal body into the astral and from there into the gross body, if that makes a little bit of sense.
Yes.
Right? So when we're looking at Nadi, what we are doing is we're not simply looking into the gross body, we're also looking at any energy changes that are occurring. So, which probably might be the reason why it is used for astrology or maybe by Vastu. I have never used it in any of those regards, so I am not an expert in any of that. However, in Ayurveda, we use it to understand the energy fluctuations that happen in the body. We look at it to look at the doshas, we look at how the doshas are behaving, which direction are they moving in. At what strength? Are they mixing with each other? Are they covering one another? Are they dominating one another? So every finger that we put, they have 26 probable different movements that we can see in each of them. And which is why Nadi Parikshan, although being a very brilliant science, is a science that is definitely a little hard to master. I mean, I wish it wasn't, but that is the reality.
So does it mean that not every Ayurvedic doctor or every expert is expert in Nadi Parikshan?
No, in fact, most of the Ayurvedic doctors don't do Nadi Parikshan, or they're probably trying it out. You know, they're not experts with it. Very, very few are experts in Nadi Parikshan. Okay. So that is this. Luckily, I believe I am one of them, because I don't examine any patient in any other way or form. There is no palpitation, there is no percussion, there is nothing. I only put 3 fingers in their hand and that's how I make a living.
So how it is different from the health checkup or a body checkup, that stethoscope and all?
Every examination tool has certain strengths. So for example, when you're using a stethoscope to check, how the lungs are behaving. So you're going to look at respiratory sounds and that might give you a clue of what is happening.
Correct.
You might use certain other parameters to check, you know, something else. So I think Nadi Parikshan also has its own set of benefits and its set of strengths. Nadi Parikshan can look at a lot of things in great depth. I am not against having, let's say, a full body checkup done or blood test done, urine test done. In fact, I might even order some of them. But this is a tool that we have that I think no one else does. And it's a great strength, because a lot of things that a body checkup may not bring into the forefront, Nadi Parikshan definitely does. The second thing is that Nadi Parikshan doesn't take as long and is not as expensive as doing a full body checkup or any of that. So it can also lead not only to further insights, but it can also lead to things being much quicker, much cheaper, and you can find out a lot of things with NADI Pariksha.
Can you give me one example of you have seen lot many patients. So can you give me one example which simplifies this, NADI Parikshan, how it helped to diagnose?
I can tell you a patient I saw today morning.
Okay.
I saw his NADI and I told him that, there is a lot of acidity. There's headache, specifically occipital. So it's coming from the back end. There's hair fall, there was anger, irritation, lack of sleep in terms of quantity. He was also very temperature sensitive, so he couldn't stand the heat. And he would have red dots in the back and the shoulder region if he ever did that. So yeah, I mean, we found out that the liver was also a little weak. So the NADI actually diagnosed most of these things for me. And then I asked him, is there anything else that's bothering you? And he said, no, you've covered pretty much everything. So based on that, we actually started our treatment because... Even though I've been seeing NADI for more than 20 years now, I still always like to confirm the NADI with the patient. Because there might be something that I missed out, there might be something that he would want to add, right? So we always do that and then we start a treatment depending on what we've seen. The good thing is when you've diagnosed things with the NADI, understand the challenge for a doctor is never treatment. The challenge for the doctor is always diagnosis. When you've hit the nail on the head in diagnosis, the treatment is the simplest part. Because now you know what you're supposed to treat. So then you know which medicines to give, what herbs to give, what diet to prescribe, what regimen to prescribe. It becomes very easy. So this tool, it's a tool. NADI Pariksan by itself is nothing great. It's a tool, but it's such a wonderful tool. And eye practices are not so important. I am a nobody. But this science is phenomenal. It's exceptional. And I live my entire life day in and day out doing this.
How did you start your journey into NADI Pariksan? Was it part of your syllabus or you mastered it through somebody? NADI Pariksan, you said you just use three fingers and then you check the pulses and you check the NADI and you understand the person. So it is more on senses, like what you have personally sensed while checking my NADI or somebody else's NADI. So, it is sense-based thing and that is not getting registered in any of the machine or anywhere else to confirm the accuracy of it. So
there are three parts of this question. So let me start answering one after the other. The first part of this question is why did I get into it and how did I get into it?
Yes.
So first of all, we were non-believers in Ayurveda. We thought all this is mumbo jumbo crap. We are very scientific people.
Correct.
Right? And when I was 10 years old, 10 or I think 9 or 10 years old, the whole family had an accident, a car accident, where our car was hanging off a cliff. In that accident, we didn't die because if a couple of inches and we would have been wiped off. Luckily or unluckily, we were saved. So, my mother broke her bone into 64 pieces and we got it operated and all of that. And after that, her left hand would be swollen and she used to work with the right hand to make our tiffin, my elder sisters and mine. And the right hand would be swollen just because of overwork, right? We did have help, but eventually the mother has to do.
That's true.
That the mother happens. Has to do. We used to, she used to cry herself to sleep, used to press her hands, my dad, me, my sister. As a 10-year-old, it was very traumatic.
Yeah.
And we really tried to help her in whatever form and way. We showed her to the best doctors in India, abroad, everywhere. No one could get rid of her swellings.
Okay.
And no one was able to help her. And this went on and on, not just for a couple of months, but for more than a year and a half.
Oh.
Where someone told my father, why don't you try Ayurveda? My father said, I don't believe in all this mumbo jumbo nonsense.
Yeah.
He said, also, no, this is not science. He said, tera kya jata hai? Try it. Anyways, 18 days later, my mother was cured. Everything was gone. No swelling, nothing. 18 days of Ayurveda.
My God.
That doctor just checked the pulse and told her everything else that was wrong with her. So see, when you don't believe in something and when you see it, it's a slap.
Correct.
It's an absolute wake-up call and a slap because your belief system, your foundation is shaken. And that happened to us. I was very small, yet it did happen to us. So my father suddenly started buying books on Ayurveda saying, hold on, there has to be some science in it. So he started reading about Ayurveda. We started discussing Ayurveda and that's how I got an interest. So since the age of 14, I've been going to a clinic. So I had a Hero cycle there, which was a gear wala cycle. To come home from school, cycle to an Ayurvedic clinic. And I don't think any 8th standard has ever done this.
Okay.
And sit and check patients with doctors at an Ayurvedic clinic. I learned from there. And then after that, you know, once I learned enough there, I went to another Ayurvedic doctor. Then another one, wherever I felt that I've reached a plateau, I went to multiple Ayurvedic doctors, tried to learn Nadi Parikshan, tried to learn all of this. So I've been seeing patients since I was 14 years old.
Oh my God.
So yeah, I mean, it's not that it was in the syllabus or something, frankly. I think by the time I even joined an Ayurvedic college, I was treating Dara Singh, I was treating like a lot of other patients.
So you said you started Nadi Parikshan, like, you know, after the age of 14.
Eighth standard.
Yeah. Eighth standard. So as early, what is the actual right age to start learning this Nadi Parikshan? If somebody wants to learn, because you've started early, so I'm sure some other child also would be interested to learn.
I don't know what the right age is. I think when you're smart enough, you can just start learning any skill.
That's true.
There's no age that is associated with a skill. I think if you can, if you're smart enough, you can probably pick it up earlier. But I think I did have an advantage over others because I did pick it up much earlier. And I'm pretty dumb right now, but I think I was a little smarter at that time. So
reading those Ayurvedic books, did it help you while observing, or when you said you went to many doctors, Ayurvedic doctors, so their company, their discussion with patient and all that, that also must have added to your expertise?
No, I did then pick up a lot of things here and there.
Yeah.
And I didn't mimic them. I just picked them up. And one of the worst things or the best things about me is I had incessant amount of questions. Like, I would not leave that doctor alone. I would question, 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 question until the doctor would fold their hands and say, "Boss, mat pooch abhi. We are done. We cannot answer every single question." Because I was passionate. I had this thirst. I had this entire thing. I needed to know. And until I knew, I just wouldn't stop. And that is why I left those doctors, because they couldn't answer my questions. So I kept moving forward, kept moving forward. And that thirst, I don't know where it's come from. People say God gave, people say whatever. I don't know if God is interested enough in me. But there was this thirst. And I did try to quench it as much as I could.
When was the time you decided to club Ayurvedic knowledge with the quantum physics, and how
because
that shift
answers.
Happened?
I didn't get answers. Every time I asked a question, they were very vague. And as I said, my entire upbringing was very scientific in nature. So I started learning Newtonian physics, trying to understand whether this works. It didn't work. It didn't work in Newtonian physics. I'll give you an example. In my undergrad college, one of my surgery professors was conducting a research wherein he was trying to understand that there was a medicine that was given nasally. So it's called Nasya. Right? How that medicine worked in the body. So he was trying to understand that. So he used a radio opaque. So basically when you check, right? So these are research terms. But when he used a radio opaque thing to see how much got absorbed, how it went in the body, what he realized, no, was that it wasn't getting absorbed. And yet it was showing results.
Oh.
How do you explain that in Newtonian physics? You can't. But it's there.
Yeah.
You have a result. So there has to be a process. Because if there is a principle and there is a result, you can't not have a process.
Correct.
And the process was only explained to frequency entrainment. And that is an entire topic on its own.
Yeah.
And I started understanding digestion through this. I started understanding how medicines work through this. I understand it spirituality through this, because I understand that when you say a mantra also, it has an effect. So how is the mantra? There's no absorption, there's no bioavailability, there's nothing.
Yeah.
But there is definitely a frequency that is affecting you.
Correct.
And I started looking at it in that angle. And that gave me a lot of answers. I'm giving you very, very superficial answers here. I mean, I can't give you that detailed answers because it will take a long time for me to explain what I'm trying to tell you. But I did understand that Ayurveda is not merely working on Newtonian physics, it's working on the new physics or quantum physics. And that is also one of the papers that I wrote. Which eventually was even considered to be picked up for an MD. So in MD studies in Ayurveda, that paper was considered to be picked up as part of the syllabus. because people really needed to know Ayurveda. So I did understand Ayurveda through philosophical lens, through a medicinal lens, but also through a physics lens, which I don't think very few people looked at it in that lens. So, I mean, yeah, there are so many things that I could tell you today.
So, coming back to Nadi Parikshan, after the checkup is done, the next thing is, you know, understanding the body type. Like, you know, people see that your body is Pitta Dosha or Vayu Dosha, Kapha Dosha.
Or a combination of
two. Yeah, combination. So, how does it work? I mean, like, you know, after the Parikshan does, then you divide this, like, you know, body type, one of the part, you know.
By the time you walk from the door and take a seat, your Prakriti is already known.
Oh my God.
It doesn't need me to even check your Prakriti.
Okay.
You understand. I am working as a doctor.
Correct.
So people who come to me are people who are already diseased.
Hmm.
Very rarely do I get a healthy individual who comes to me who has no disease.
Hmm.
Because then why would they come to me? There are a few smart people there who realize that they should come to me before they are diseased to help themselves not get diseased. Because there's preventive and promotive medicine.
Okay.
But people who come to me are diseased. So I'm not focused on looking at their Prakriti. I am more focused looking at their Vikruti. Vikruti is different for Prakriti. Prakriti is what you are at your natural self. That is your healthy state.
True.
And Vikruti is a state where you've deviated from your Prakriti. So let's say, I mean, very crudely, if you are like a 60% Vata, 20% Pitta, 20% Kapha Prakriti. And if your Vata has gone to 80% in 10 and 10. Right? Which means your Vata is Vikrut, is much higher than it should have been. Should all these three be 33, 33, 33? No. That is also a Vikruti. For you, healthy is 60, 20, 20.
Oh.
Which means that your Prakriti is a Vata Prakriti and that ratio is healthy for you. Another person's health is actually a disease for you. So I look at which dosha is more than it should be leading up to the disease. And then I treat that dosha accordingly. So in a nutshell, that's how we work.
So these dosha keeps on changing and fluctuating in some bodies. Doshas are nothing but
functional entities, right? So if one particular function is overworking, let's say catabolism is overworking or anabolism is overworking, you're gaining weight. So I have to understand which dosha is overworking and I have to actually tackle that.
What is it called dosha? Dosha means fault, right?
Dosha means fault, yes. Yeah. They are called doshas because they are the ones that bring fault in the body.
Oh.
That is exactly why they're called doshas. So you hit the nail on the head there.
So when this imbalance happens, do you give some medicines or just simple practices also help, or does it require extensive treatments?
It depends. There are multiple ways that you can actually treat a patient. Eventually, as I said earlier, we are actually imparting corrective frequency to a person. Now, whether you impart it through a herb, whether you do it through a metal, whether you do it through basmas, whether you do it through mantras, whether you do it through tantras or through yantras, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
The minute that corrective frequency is gone into the body, it will have an impact. This is purely physics. There is nothing spiritual. There is nothing great. There is nothing esoteric. The more you make it mystified, you are doing a disservice to people. You have to make it as simple as possible. And then they will understand.
Can you give one example of how you treated any patient based on any of these techniques?
I normally don't use mantras or anything because I'm not qualified enough and I don't have as much
understanding. Have you seen any difference in a person's body who is chanting regularly? Let's say Panditji or somebody who comes
My
to
My own
you.
Father.
Okay.
Yeah. And different mantras, because what is mantra is nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine if you say Om, so Ma, different parts of your body will vibrate, right? That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
So mantra is basically you're moving energy or pran in one particular direction using phonations.
Correct.
Because the minute you pronounce different phonations, different areas vibrate. So you're moving energy. Energy follows awareness. So let's say you're sitting in a train and someone is touching you. After a certain point, you're numb to it. You don't even realize someone's touching you, right?
Yeah.
But the minute you're aware, that person also becomes aware. You've not moved.
Yeah.
You're just aware.
Yeah.
So energy always follows awareness because you've put in energy there. Why?
Correct.
Because you're aware. So awareness itself is spirituality. It is energy.
Hmm.
That is all you're supposed to do. Similarly, when you're actually reciting mantras, what you're doing is you're vibrating certain areas. So you're basically sending awareness through that. So prana moves through that area.
Hmm.
So you can move prana through different means. Okay. Mantra is one thing. You sit in a particular asana, prevent prana from moving in one particular area. That is yoga. Hatha yoga. When you're doing it through pranayama, you're actually doing it consciously, which is why it happens after hatha yoga. So after asana, it comes into pranayama. I mean, hatha yoga will also consist of the pranayama and all the others. But
yeah,
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Right. So that's one way of doing it.
Hmm.
Mantra is another way of doing it.
Hmm.
Right. Ayurvedic herbs can also impart a lot of things there.
Okay.
Right. So there are so many ways you can actually treat an individual.
Hmm.
To limit it just to medicines. Ayurveda is shashwat. It will always remain. Because life always remains.
Hmm.
Right.
Hmm.
Humans may not always remain, but life will always remain.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we are much higher than humans.
Correct.
This is just a birth we've got.
Hmm.
Right. So, Ayurveda is not the processes or the medicines that are used.
Hmm.
Ayurveda is the principle of life.
Hmm.
And you can use different processes in order to achieve it.
So, let's say you've treated some patient to balance out Pitta Dosha.
Correct.
Okay. So, does that effect remain for longer time or it eliminates the, like, you know, the problem that was happening.
So there are two kinds of treatments that we do in Ayurveda. One is Shaman and one is Shodhan.
Okay.
Shaman is basically when you reduce the Pitta in the body.
Hmm.
And it will remain forever until the patient does something really stupid to increase the Pitta again.
Okay.
So for example, let's say a person has excessive Pitta. And Pitta is more of heat, right, in the body?
Yes.
In a very layman sense. So let's say I've removed the Pitta. The acidity is out. You know, he's fine. Everything is great. And he has a lot of mirchi in his vada pav tomorrow. What do you think will happen?
Hmm.
The Pitta is going to come back.
Hmm.
So, have I eliminated the Pitta? Yes.
Hmm.
Has it come back? Yes.
Hmm.
Both these answers are yes. I can't eliminate, you can't tell me, you know, remove my gas and then whatever I eat, I'll never have gas in the future.
Yeah.
How is that possible? That's stupid. It doesn't work like that. Right. So, maintaining of health is also an activity, is an effort.
So, I think like, you know, when people say that, you know, I started having this and it started working, it started showing the result and all that. So I'm assuming now it is affecting one of the doshas or it is working on one of the doshas that they have and maybe probably because of that,
obviously,
it is working on somebody's body.
Everything you do has an impact on your body.
Yeah.
Everything, even a thought has an impact on your body. It's not that you have to consume something to have an impact on the body.
Hmm.
A single thought can actually ruin or even transform your body.
Okay.
So everything that you do has an impact. Every action will have a consequence.
Like, you know, stick to three doshas now, Pitta, Vata and Kapha. So if we stick to this and they say person should take care, you know, like if you have a Pitta dosha, how that person has to take care, what he's supposed to eat, not supposed to eat or something.
So when it comes to diet, right, keep it a little simple.
Simple, yeah. Don't
have complications. So let's say if Pitta dosha is there, then they should avoid things that are sour, spicy, fermented, heaty. I mean, avoid late nights because all of these things will increase Pitta. If it's Vata, then avoid things that are puffed up, like popcorn, makhanas, kurmuras, shevdas. Avoid nuts. Avoid rajma chole beans, very gassy. Avoid nariyal pani, very gassy. Avoid the sprouts. You can have your moong, but just don't sprout it, right? Again, avoid late nights because that also increases Vata dosh. Sleep for a little longer. Avoid nuts and all of these dry things. Then if it's Kapha, then you avoid things like dairy, avoid cold food, avoid things like bananas, guavas, grapes, sugarcane, sitafal, lychee, again nariyal pani, avoid. Avoid dairy. If it's Pitta, then avoid heaty, non-vegetarian food. It depends on which dosha that you have. But doshas are not the only thing that we take into consideration. There are eight different parameters that we take into consideration that I explained in the last podcast.
Medicines which are very harsh, like, you know, it gives you acidity. It is not easy to digest. And sometimes people feel that they are getting acne or pimples because of that or some rash. The heat is coming out and all. So many people actually don't try and go to a doctor, Ayurvedic doctor. So what do you have to say about this?
No, you said it right. It's a myth. There's nothing like that. For example, you will have kadi patta in your poha. I make two tablets of kadi patta, it becomes a medicine.
Yeah.
You will have tulsi like this. But if I take six tulsi patta, make three tablets, now it becomes very harsh on you. It's not true.
Hmm.
I mean, there's nothing else to explain.
Hmm.
It's not true.
If you've been given the wrong medicine, you're definitely going to have a problem. If you don't need this much heat in the body, and if you've been given heaty medicines, you're going to have a problem.
Hmm.
You cannot judge a science by its followers. That is absolutely not true. If a doctor makes a mistake, that doesn't mean Ayurveda is responsible for it.
See, when it comes to this Ayurveda, this is an ancient technique and like stream of medicines. So you have done MD in Ayurveda. Like there are many people, they are self-claimed Ayurvedic doctors. Yeah. You know, those are also available in every corner in India. So I think it matters whom you are going to, whom you are referring to.
And so this is fortunate and unfortunate. It is unfortunate because Ayurveda is a very difficult science. It doesn't work like allopathy. It doesn't work on SOPs.
Hmm.
So there are no standard operating protocols where, you know, there's a cold, you give an antibiotic.
Yeah, I was about
Even though antibiotics actually don't work for cold. Cold is a viral, antibiotics are antibacterial. But yet they give antibiotics.
Yeah.
That's a topic for a different time.
Yeah.
But allopathy is a very SOP based science. So if you learn, understand the SOPs, I mean, a compounder who's worked for 6 months probably can do a GP job. I mean, that's true. And they do it, right? And that's why there's a lot of crackdown on these guys.
Hmm.
Ayurveda is not so easy to understand. People who simplified Ayurveda into SOPs are the people who are doing all these mistakes. Because, I mean, I do blame them and I also don't blame them because I understand that it's very tough to get your head around it.
Hmm.
I've been doing it since I was a kid. So I have luckily been able to, you know, wrap my head around it. So it's very unfortunate that most Ayurvedic doctors are pretty much degree wale quacks. But it's very fortunate also that it gives a lot of vacuum for people like us, right? Who do understand. I mean, I hope I do. But I do understand Ayurveda to a very deep extent.
So now, just what we just discussed, that, you know, every corner we have Ayurvedic doctor and some expert who is like, you know, having a proper degree, an MD. So that is also a Ayurvedic doctor. So when it is like, you know, coming to Nadi Parikshan, if somebody wants to learn Nadi Pariksha, who will be the right person to guide a new student?
So see, teaching Nadi Parikshan is a challenge in itself.
Hmm.
I have a lot of students who come to me, who come to the clinic, who help out because there's a good rush of patients and then, you know, they start helping out and they keep asking me, you know, teach us Nadi Parikshan because lot of people are fascinated with it. I mean, I don't find it fascinating for me. It's the day-to-day job.
But why is it fascinating? Is it like occult science for people?
It's not occult. There's nothing occult about it. It's just such a normal science. It's like the minute I see a patient and I tell them, you know, I mean, you can make it like a magic show, which I initially used to, and I was very naive. Because I used to tell people what they see in their dreams and all of that.
Oh, okay.
And then people would be so fascinated, they would call their friends. And for me, you know, just started off as a doctor. I had more patients. But then I realized that people weren't interested in my medicines. People just wanted a Kelal magic show. And I'm not a Kelal. So this is not a magic show. I'm a doctor. I'm actually here to do serious work. So I stopped telling people all of that. I only told them exactly how much they needed to know. But when it comes to teaching people, students were also very fascinated because see, Nadi Parikshan is not really taught in colleges.
Hmm.
There is a side note that, yeah, Nadi Parikshan is a part of Ayurveda and all.
Yeah.
The teachers also, they don't know how to do it. So forget, how will they teach the students? So they do come to other doctors and a lot of people find me and come to me. I don't like taking too many students because it really rushes my clinic and I don't like that.
Hmm.
But I do teach a couple of them. There's a challenge in teaching Nadi Pariksha because Nadi Pariksha is a science and an art both.
Hmm.
What do I mean by that? Is there are steps wherein, you know, how you place the finger, how much pressure you put, what kind of a thing that you're looking out for. It takes a while. So earlier when I used to learn Nadi Pariksha when I was in my 8th standard, is I used to, you know, cover my ear with one hand, the other ear, listen to the nadi, ask the patient if they've been fasting, this, that.
Yeah.
Now you can have a dhol in front of me, the patient is eating in front of me, I can check the nadi, right? So now it's become pretty much like second nature. If I were to explain this, it's very simple. It's like when you're driving a car, it's impossible. You know, gear dekho, there are three mirrors, there is an indicator, it's raining, the wipers are going here and there. You have to look at people cutting from left or from the right.
Yeah.
There's a bike moving, you have to look at a hawaldar and the signal. It is impossible to do. But once you start doing it, it becomes second nature. Then you're not even thinking. Someone asks you which gear, you don't even have to check. I'm in third gear, okay?
Yeah.
Because it just happens, right?
Yeah.
When I'm making a roti also, it's never goal.
But then it just happens. You're on the phone, you're maybe looking at TV and the roti is going. It just happens. It's second nature. So for me, it's second nature now. In fact, some people, when they come to me, rather than shaking the hand, they do this. They check the nadi. I mean, it's so second nature. But I'll give you a couple of examples. You'll be interested. So nadi, I can teach the students the basics and you know how you can know whether vata is increased, pit. But some things are very intuitive. And I'll give you an example. So I'd gone to my father's office, and whenever I go there for my father, it's like a field day, you know, all the staff, the peons, this, that, they all line up saying, doctor aaya hai, sabko check up karega. So I was checking everyone, and then there was one peon who had come, right? So I was checking him, and I told him that there's nothing wrong with you physically, but 15 days ago, something happened. And after that, everything has gone for a toss.
Okay.
So I told him this. This guy is a healthy, big guy, big buffed fellow. Starts crying. My dad is looking at me. I'm looking at him. We're both shocked. Why is he crying? Then we, you know, calm him down. We give him a little bit of orange juice that was lying there. Then he tells me, 15 din pehle, meri behen ghar chhodke bhag gayi. So then I don't know what to say. Console him, he's crying, poor guy. And so while going back home after that day, my father asked me, because my father also knows how to read Nadi Pariksha. Not to my extent, but to a good extent. He said, Manan, how did you find that out? I've told him that day, and I'm telling you today, I have no clue. The minute I check the pulse, these things are completely intuitive. You can brand me as an idiot, do it. But this is exactly what happened. I will not lie. It just came. Another case I tell you. I was seeing a patient. She's a very famous baker in Bandra. Right? I love her cakes. Right? So I was checking her pulse, and a mother had just accompanied her. So she was insistent, you know, after her treatment was, this thing was done. She said, Mummy, why don't you show? Mummy is like, no, I have nothing. Why should I show this, that? Eventually, she forced her mother that, show no, why are you not showing? I checked her nadi. And I said, boss, something is very wrong with your lungs. Do you have any breathing trouble? This, that? She's like, no, I have nothing. Do you have trouble breathing while climbing? No, I have nothing. I was at a loss because this normally doesn't happen to me. I said, I'm seeing major problem. You're saying nothing. Then eventually I gave up. I said, no, you're right. I am wrong. You probably have nothing. But I am seeing something. So after the mother left, I told her daughter that try to do one scan, no, for the lungs, because I'm very sorry, but I'm seeing something. If there's nothing, no, it's okay. I am wrong. But just for my sake, no, do it. Few days later, she called me. I think a terminal stage lung cancer.
What?
Terminal stage lung cancer.
My God. For the mother.
And she's like, Dr. Manan, you have to do something about it. You are the one who identified. I said, I'm sorry, I don't treat cancer. So I will not be able to help you out. But if you're doing chemo radiation, I can maybe give you herbs to decrease the impact. So someone asked me, how did I find out? I have no clue. It just comes. Another case where I was at a meeting, right? And a very famous real estate guy, he said, I never have gas. I said, but I can see a lot of gas. He's saying, I have no gas. So we are at an impasse.
Yeah.
I said, no, you're right. Then you probably don't have gas. Then I went to my clinic. He went home to Bandra. Calls me in a couple of hours. Saying, Manan, tune kya kiya? I said, maine kya kiya? He's saying, the whole way I've just been burping. And I never have gas. He's like, where are you? I'm in the clinic. I'm coming back. Right now. You have to treat me. So sometimes, no, Nadi Parikshan, it just...
It works like time machine, like take you back and like, you know, take you to the future, tell you what is going to happen.
But I can tell you why it happens also. I can actually explain this. I can rationalize this.
Yeah, please.
In Ayurveda, there are 6 stages of a disease. So the first one is accumulation. So let's take an example of a bacterial infection, right? So a bacteria is accumulating in one particular area of the body. The second is aggravation. So then it multiplies, it aggravates. The third is spreading. So it starts spreading through connective tissues throughout the body. It could be a dosha also. We can take a vata dosha problem. It's spreading throughout the body. Then the fourth is localization. It starts localizing in the weak spots. Mm. Let's say your knees are weak. So the vata will start localizing there.
Mm.
And the fifth stage of the disease is that it will start showing symptoms, whether it's a pain or let's say you have a your throat is the weak element. Mm. So throat mein wo kichkich hoti hai whenever you fall sick. A lot of people come and tell me.
Correct.
Right? Ke throat mein kuch hua to mujhe malum pada main bimar hone wala. So then you start having symptoms, whether it's pain, burning, itching, whatever it may be.
Correct.
And then it becomes a disease where you're actually differentiating it. So let's say you have osteoarthritis or you have rheumatism or you have something, right? Some disease like in planus or eczema or whatever it may be. So these are the six stages of disease. Now, when a patient realizes that they are diseased is at the fifth stage when they show symptoms.
Okay.
I can check it at the first stage.
Hmm.
Why? Only because of Nadi Pariksha. Nadi Parikshan can tell me if the dosha is aggravating, accumulating.
Hmm.
So I can stop it there and there itself with mere dietary changes. Hey, bhai, 15 din ye mat khana. 15 din ye home remedy le lo. You don't need medicines.
So it's not always that you give medicines to people.
Of course not. I try to give as little medicine as possible. I don't like giving medicines.
Hmm.
But you can actually solve and prevent problems from occurring. Because you can catch the disease in the accumulating stage. You know vata is increasing, boss, you stop the vata things.
Yeah.
The minute you stop the vata increasing things, that disease will no longer come to fruition. Isn't that the best mediclaim that you can do?
Yeah.
It's better than paying for your hospital bills.
Yeah.
Right? So I always urge patients that even if you have no problems, every 3 to 4 months go to a Nadi Vaidya.
Every 3 to 4 months?
3 times a year, more than enough.
Okay.
Even if you're not sick, you won't be sick. And my dad knew this. So what he did, he used to just stuff all of us in the car, take us to a Nadi Ved, and all of us would have a Nadi
check. It's like a quarterly body check.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like Nadi Pariksha.
Absolutely. And that I think was one of the smartest things that he's done. We just wouldn't fall sick because, for example, one Nadi Ved looked at my dad's Nadi and said, you have an L3, L4 problem. He had no problem. My dad didn't believe him. He did an X-ray. Guess what?
Happened.
Yeah. So he said, do these things and it'll not become a problem. And it's never
been
a problem.
It's preventing also at the same
time.
Exactly.
So Ayurveda is not just cure. There is a preventive element and there is also a promotive element. How can you promote immunity? How can you promote your health? How can you promote eyes? How can you promote, I don't see ophthalmology, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Right. But there are these elements in Ayurveda.
Like, you know, sometimes body craving, sometimes your body bloats, sometimes like, you know, there is low energy level, no matter how many coffees you have, you know, your body is still feeling lethargic or like, you know, having no energy at all. You sleep for like 8 hours or 10 hours also and still you feel sleepy. So these are like, you know, certain things that you experience quite often. So why does it happen?
So these are symptoms that are very useful for diagnosis. You could have low energy and coffee might not be the right answer to correct the disease. Right? Disease is just when you are not at ease. There is a disease, right? So let's say that you need excessive coffee in order to function. In Ayurveda, we would rather look at the root cause of why is there less energy, rather than why is there a craving for coffee, right? And we'll try to address that. So then the requirement of coffee will not be there. Similarly, let's say if you're sleeping for 10 hours and if you're still tired, then it's not the quantity of sleep, but the quality of sleep that's bad. So we'll try to figure out why the quality of sleep is bad. And based on that, we'll treat, right? It's very different from allopathy, right? As I said, allopathy, let's say a person has insomnia. You go to a doctor, say, listen, why do I have insomnia? I tell you that melatonin is less generated, this, that, the example that I used earlier. So then what is the solution if melatonin is less? Is you take more melatonin. Here's a melatonin tablet. You take it every night before sleeping. Is melatonin the root cause? It's not. It is not why you're not sleeping. It is how you're not sleeping. So the doctor is explaining the process to you and you feel it's the cause. The minute you assume that a process is the cause, then cutting the process will give you temporary or symptomatic relief. But when you understand the cause, ke biwi ghar chhod ke bhag gayi, then you will have to understand that that is why you are not sleeping. Not because melatonin is not being generated. That is just the process. So in Ayurveda, we always encourage doctors and my students to try and find out the root cause.
Hmm.
Because if you don't, you're not really coming out with a sustainable and a permanent answer. You will just come up with a temporary answer. It may be working very quickly.
Hmm.
It may be a quick fix.
Hmm.
But most of allopathy is quick fix. Easily curable, curable with a lot of difficulty means you can control them, and incurable.
Hmm.
So these are the four things: Sukhasadhya, Krochrasadhya, Yapya, and Asadhya, the Sanskrit terms for it.
Hmm.
Right? So depending on what disease is in terms of its prognosis, we advise patients accordingly.
Before we wrap up this session, we have one quiz. You have to answer in one word.
Okay.
So I'll tell you some...
This seems to be like my wife talking to me.
So I'll tell you people, their traits, and then you have to answer in one word.
One word.
One word. Okay. So if someone is angry and irritable...
Pith.
If someone is impulsive, talk fast and forgets things easily.
Me. I mean, what?
What about someone who is calm, slow moving and loves routine?
Cuff.
And who is the most ambitious, driven and competitive?
Pith.
Which dosha is most likely to be to make you night owl?
Vat.
Who is the most organized and goal driven?
Kaf.
Who is naturally the best listener?
Kaf.
And who forgets the phone everywhere?
My wife. Oh, Vat.
So this was a quick quiz just to understand, you know, how people and their personalities
that
are.
That life fun was a joke. Huh?
So with this fun quiz, let's wrap up this session. Okay. And I must say this was very eye-opening and fun conversation with you as an Ayurvedic doctor. I thought it will be slightly serious, but it was fun talking and knowing so many traits that you have shared, especially about Nadi Parikshan. Thank you so much for coming on our podcast.
Thank you.
And that was a wrap on today's episode. If you enjoyed this conversation, don't forget to subscribe and share with your friends. And as always, stay connected with Empyrea Connects. See you next time.